Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are holy. Lord, I really pray that we as your people will know this in our hearts. Help us to see you in such a way, Lord, that we will know that you are our God. Help us to experience you. Help us with your Spirit to know you deeply. I pray that this will be our above all else. I pray in Jesus' name that you will be our enough, that we'll be able to seek the kingdom first, and whatever comes as a result, so be it. Thank you that we can come together as a church, as a body of Christ. I really pray it will be a blessing to you, Lord. I know that you enjoy it when your people come together. I pray that we'll have a desire in our hearts to please you, not with works, not with activities, but to be close to you as your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Goeiemôre almal. Ek het gewonder, gaan daar mense wees met 'n lang naweek rugby wat wel was nie, maar goed was en koue weer, maar hier is ons nou. En ek is baie dankbaar. Luister, ek is hier eintlik lus om die boot te staan, maar strict instructions vir die kamera daar op YouTube. Ek moet hier bo staan. En ons gaan sommer in Engels wees vanoggend. Ek hoop is al right vir almal. The last couple of weeks, possibly months, maybe for some longer, there's been this topic, and Christoph spoke about it a couple of, I can't remember when it was, but vinnige en vol lewens, fast and full lives. And the danger in that. And I was reminded in that time, and maybe I've said it before, but just a quick recap, just to give some sort of a platform so that we can move from. I was reminded, if I don't manage this rhythm of mine, this lifestyle, if I don't manage it, yes, with grace, with God's word, with his help, by his Spirit, if I don't manage it, the world's going to manage it for me. And that's just how it works. If I do nothing, the world is going to manage it for me. And the rhythm of this world is catastrophic. And if you think the reason or the desire or the plan of this rhythm of the world is to keep you tired, is to keep you in debt, is to keep you in all these bad things, that's not the plan of the rhythm of this world. The plan is to separate you from Christ, is to keep you from God. That's the plan. And he shared this very practical picture. Christoph now shared this very practical picture in the midst of this world, in the midst of this rhythm that is fast and furious, that is keeping us busy. What is the things that is going to help us? So, testing, daar's ek weer. And spiritual disciplines is one of them. And he painted this picture of this trellis, or this, if you go into the farming areas, you'll look in the orchards, beautiful straight lines, the poles are standing up with the wires that is going through, and the trees are beautifully straight. And this system, or this structure of these poles and these wires, is to help the tree flourish, help the tree to its fullest potential. And he painted this picture that this is kind of like this trellis, that God has set up things for us to help us in this world, and spiritual disciplines is one of them. And he talked about the rest day, the Sabbath day last week, there's prayer, fasting, time with the body. All of these things are spiritual disciplines, or this structure, or this trellis that helps us in the midst of a world where we need help. And to be spiritually disciplined is not easy. It's effort. But we definitely need it in a world that is very undisciplined. In a world that is saying, me, myself, and I, the way that I want it, when I want it, how I want it. And so to live a disciplined life in a very undisciplined, spiritually undisciplined world anyways, and let's give a focus on spiritually, not just undisciplined, because if we have to look it around, we can probably see discipline. But when it comes to spiritual discipline, I think it's a different story. But the danger in this as very smart people with a lot of plans, like what he said this morning, is that we can look to these structures or this trellis and say, great, I'm going to figure this one out. I'm going to become so spiritually disciplined and I'm going to get it down so that I can bear fruit. And that's the reason why the farmer has put up this structure, so that the tree will bear fruit. Great. So that it will bear export fruit, the best fruit. I don't know about the most fruit, but most capacity, quality, all of this, he's putting it up for a reason, so that the tree will bear fruit. Not just so that the tree can have a happy life and daar gaat hy, hy is nou oop en hy kry mooi sonlig. No, so that he can bear fruit. And the danger in that, and I don't know about you, but the danger in that for me, is that I can so look to the trellis, or the structure, or the spiritual disciplines, and everything that God has given to his people, I can look at that as the help. And it is the help. And the danger in that is that I can become a master at looking at the trellis and making sure that I'm applying this. And I was asking myself, what's the ultimate fruit that the farmer wants to bear? This export, beautiful fruit. And if we're talking about the farmer and the tree, let's say he is the tree and the farmer is my Father in heaven. What's this? Why does he want to bear fruit? Is it just so that I can walk around being a good person, bearing nice fruit so that people can taste, enjoy? What is the reason? What is the reason why he wants to bear good fruit? And I came to a few reasons. But I think one of them sums it up. And before I get there, I've got a desire to encourage the church today before giving all the do's and don'ts. Yeah? Because spiritual disciplines is great and we need to apply it and we need to practice it and we need to ask the Lord for help. But I want to take us a step further than that help and say, okay, spiritual disciplines is a help. But what's the help beyond the help? What is going to help us to apply and to live in this help? And the do's and don'ts is really most of the time with me is based on, okay, I'm going to do it so that I can. I'm going to do this. And it's a dangerous trap for me as a Western person that wants to achieve and can get things right and can make plans. And I tend to forget the one behind the trellis. The God who's put up the trellis. The God who wants to make sure that the fruit is being bared. And all this fruits of the Spirit is not just so that I can be patient, so that I can deal with taxis in a different way, so that I can deal with Eskom patiently, so that I can be a great person. No, these fruits are there so that I can be close to him. And let me explain that. So in the beginning, it was very, very good, according to the word. After he created man, and everything was good, very good, according to him. And then something came in between this very good, and it's called sin. And this sin has separated us from God. Very straightforward. And then it wasn't so good. And the reason why I think God wants fruit in our lives, yes, so that it will be a different community and people will taste and see that it's good, yes. But if it's not the good fruit, then the opposite is true. It's bad fruit. And bad fruit, another word for bad fruit, is sin. And when it's sin, then we are separated from him. And he doesn't like that. It's not good for him. It's not very, very good according to it, how it was in the beginning. And maybe just four scenes. Maybe you've heard this a couple of times in a Bible study or with Christoph. But just four scenes of what is the farmer doing here and why is he doing what he's doing? Why is he giving us the trellis? What's the plan? Four scenes. In the beginning, it was very good and we were walking closely with him. And these four scenes is also found in probably most of the movies that you'll find. So there's some sort of reason why this is kind of ingrained in our fiber. It's kind of part of who we are. And we sort of make movies about it and draw and make cartoons. It's the same theme that's from the beginning. So the first scene it was good, very good. Everything was perfect. You know, you see it in these movies, this romantic scene, everything is hunky-dory. And then what happens? The bad guy enters the scene and he messes everything up. And the people in the community is going, Demakar. And then the next scene, what happens then? The good guy rises up, the hero. And he comes and he fights against this battle. And obviously it goes most of the time one way. What's the fourth scene? It's again very, very good. And that's the story of the Bible, really, if you think about it. In the beginning, it was great and it was good. We were close to him and it was very, very good. Then the enemy came in and he did something so that there could be separation, because that was his plan. Not just so that you could be tired, not just so that you can be in debt and frustrated or a broken family or all these things that we're experiencing. That wasn't his plan. That was a result of his plan. His plan was to separate us from Christ. And then Jesus, the hero, comes in and he deals with the thing that is separating us from God, sin. Not to make us a better person, or no, the issue is sin. And actually, the issue is not sin. The issue is that we are separated from God. So that's the issue. That's what he came to deal with. And then in the very end, in Revelations, it says it's going to be a new earth and it's going to be very good again. So it starts great, goes bad, there's a hero, and in the end, according to Revelation, and we can be super encouraged about this as a child of God, it's going to end very good. A new earth. A new earth. So these four scenes is what is kind of happening, going to happen, and we are kind of in between somewhere. The cross has happened, but the new earth hasn't happened yet. And somewhere, us as a tree, we're in this very barren, spiritually barren place. And maybe if I can ask this question, there's a couple of farmers out here. If I have to take an apple tree and not in the time of Eden, because we know that Eden was beautiful and was perfect and the soil was 100%, and Anton will tell you how many bacteria was there to account to that bacteria, and everything was perfect. But we are not in that place. So now if I had to take a tree, take it to not ideal circumstances, the ground is harsh, the water is min, there's lack of nutrients, and I plant the tree. Say, sterkte oumaat, en ek stap hier weg. Wat gaan gebeur met die boom? Kom, farmer, Joe, Nantes, gaan hy survive? Not the chance. He needs a what? What does the tree need? Care. He needs a farmer. He needs a farmer that knows exactly what this tree needs in order to flourish. Because unfortunately, it is not a perfect world. It is not a place where, like it was in Eden, where the fruit trees were in perfect environment. It's a broken environment now. And so this farmer of ours, I just want to take us with one main focus possibly today, is to take the focus of what I can do and not do in order to bear fruit. What he desires and is busy doing, what his plan is, with the trellis that he has set up and everything that he is doing, and me just as a tree. And the problem is, the difference between a normal tree there in the orchard and this tree here is I've got a lot of plans. And I'm not as vulnerable and just as dependent as that tree out there in the orchard. And that's the greatest disaster, but also beautiful. And so how do we get this right of being a tree that is able to respond, able to make plans, but be a tree that is completely surrendered and dependent on this farmer? Because in an environment that we are living in this world, it is spiritually barren. We need a farmer that needs to give us the nutrients that we need, prunes us in such a way so that we can grow, gives us the trellis that we need so that we will be able to stand strong in the midst of a very broken, spiritually undisciplined world. But the problem is with me, maybe not with you, the problem is with me, I focus so much on all the things that he's given so that I can be a successful believer of God. And I guess the motive is fine. But there's catastrophic fruit later where our eyes are taken off the farmer and has been put onto everything that we can do and not do and how we can do it and so that we can just. And the fruit is evident that it's not ideal. Okay, so that's kind of like, this is the picture that I want to paint, that this farmer, this farmer in heaven, hallowed be his name. It's his kingdom that wants to come. Yeah? And he knows exactly what he's doing. And yes, the help is there. But I want to read a scripture, and if you've got your word, you can turn with me. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Ephesians 3, 14. So again, we are talking about, and I guess it's because of what the Lord has been speaking to us about as a congregation, this help in the midst of a world, spiritual disciplines. But I want to just for a moment, before Christoph possibly goes on and how, he talked about the why last week, and it was really good. And one of the areas, the Sabbath day or the day of rest, one spiritual discipline. And how do we do that? And I think he's going to get into that. But before he does, I want to get to the help behind the help, the bigger picture, so that we are careful not to focus so much on how I can and what I can do so that I can bear fruit. Okay, so Ephesians 3 from verse 14, I want to read it here. And this is Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. So think of a tree. It grows for a specific reason, so that it can bear fruit. And why is it bearing fruit? So that it's not bearing fraught fruit. Because if it is, it means it's separated from God. Not because it's just a nice tree with nice fruit. Fraught fruit means sin. Sin means separation. Good fruit means not separation. So it's not about the fruit. It's about the separation or not. Okay, so this is Paul's prayer. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes just from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. I don't know if you heard that, but it sounds like he's got the plan here. He's got the resources. He knows what he needs to be doing. He knows what needs to be done. But he's looking at the trees and he's saying, this is why. And he's the one that is going to help us to do this. And this is a very, I think we've heard this 100 times, but I just want to remind us and encourage us that we can really rest in the fact that God is saying, I see you. I will keep you. I will be with you. I will make sure that you need or get what you need. I will make sure that things are in place. Just be that tree that is dependent. But so often I can run and I can apply and I can make plans. And does it look like fruit? I think sometimes it does, and that's the danger. It looks good. But the question is it eternal? Is there eternal fruit or is it just good fruit that looks good now? So I want to read a scripture, another scripture from Psalm 121, and Kwiti is probably there in your book as well, because it's based on who is God. And the past couple of weeks with me personally, I found myself in this rhythm of this world because I wasn't deliberately managing my rhythm according to God's word, his ways, with his help by his spirit. And I also experienced this, my eyes off Jesus, a lack of faith. Knowing all the right answers, knowing, loving the church, enjoying, it's not going bad, but there's just some sort of intimacy, some sort of rest, some sort of proper joy, this I can't really explain, that is lacking. And then I realized I was looking for my help in all the things that God was giving. And I think that's not such a bad thing. But somehow, I was looking at these things and God was here. And I was just hoping that I'm just going to be served so that. And he reminded me again, Brett, it's about me. It's about him. It's about this closeness with him. That was the reason for the creation. That was what went wrong. That's why Jesus came. And that's what he said in Revelation. It's all about that. In the beginning, it was very, very good. And it wasn't because we had this incredibly functional world that everything is in place. It was because we were close to him. Their eyes was on him. They enjoyed the cool of the day in the garden. They experienced him. They were with him. And whatever happened as a result of that, so be it. In Matthew, seek first the kingdom and all else will be given. And Psalm 121 says, look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from my Lord who made the heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forever. That's who he is. We have been planted in a harsh, barren world as a tree. And if we think we can survive with our good plans and good stuff, we're fooling ourselves. And yes, maybe materialistically we can. But in these scriptures, he's talking about spiritual disciplines. He's talking about intimacy with him. And so the focus has to be on spiritually, how are we? And the trap is, it looks hunky-dory. And the beautiful news is, and this is where I want to encourage you and say, we can live out of a place of thankfulness because this is what God is saying. He is the farmer. He's got the things in place. He's doing what he wants to do. He's got the plan. In the beginning, it was good. The enemy came. He sent his son. He said it's going to good be at the end, it's going to be good again. And he's saying he's never sleeping or slumbered. He watches over you all the time. He's right next to you just as the shade. He's the farmer. And we are this tree. And my desire as a tree is to be like that tree out there. But the difference is we are in a place where we can respond. And that makes it even more beautiful. Because then it talks of love. If I'm in a place where I am close to the Father, I'm not separated, and I know that he's putting something on my heart or sharing something. It's a place of response because of a closeness with him. And that's the difference. Someone asked me, Yahma, why would there be any, why would God allow all this broken war and all this stuff? Why? And obviously we know that there's some sort of free will involved in all this, and this is a long story. But coming back to the free will, and as a result of free will, things look like they look, good and bad. And the good is that as a result of a free will, there's true love. Because I'm pretty sure as an almighty creator, he could have created us and like puppets and say, you know, the people are just going to love me. They're going to go on like this and they're going to do this and they're going to make sure that they everything's in. And he could have probably done that. He can do anything. But he created free will so that we could choose. And then it's true love. If I could have my way with my wife, I would puppet her to do all bunch of stuff. To love me the way that I want her to love me, to serve me the way that she needs to serve me, to iron my clothes the way that I want my iron. All this, there's a bunch of stuff. And I could probably just, if I could just program her just to do that, it would not be incredible. Because it wouldn't be love. But if she chose out of her desires, her will, her longing, yes, Brett, you know, I she doesn't iron that well, but if I want to iron because I love you, or I want to be with you because I want to be with you. It's not a program, little robot that is doing what I say, when I say, how I say it. And this is the difference with this tree. We've been given an opportunity to be a tree that responds. But the problem is we become trees that control. And this is what will does. And this is what Kweti said this morning. So to become a tree that responds to the farmer, and danger of a tree that controls, because we want fruit. It's our design. And it's our design because we were designed to be close to him. And so the fruit is really just a result. And is it going to be enjoyed by people around us? Is it going to be enjoyed by us ourselves? Is it going to help our business, our family life? Yes, for sure. But it wasn't the reason. It was the result. The reason was separation is now gone. I am now close to my God. Oh, I know who he is. I'm experiencing him. And as a result of that, I have faith because I know him. And so may we be trees that respond. And I guess there's no lesson in this, or can't jot anything down of this is what I need to do now, and now I know what I need to do when I step out of here. No, it's none of that. It's an encouragement to say, the farmer knows you. The farmer loves you. The farmer is there all the time making sure that you get what you need. And I can't explain all the drama and the dramatic and the pain and all that, but he knows. He knows, and he never sleeps or slumbers, and he's never going to sleep and slumber, and he's always going to watch over you according to these scriptures. I'm going to read that Ephesians 3 verse 14 again quickly. Because this help, look to the mountains and see where your help comes from. Now he's given us a help to know this. And that help is his spirit. He's going to send the comforter and the helper, he said. And now I'm going to read Ephesians 3 again. And so we're in this beautiful position where we can be encouraged and live out of a place of thankfulness that God has done it all. And we are in a position just to be a tree stretched out. Yeah, prune me, do with me as you wish so that the sun can come in and so that the fruit, as you wish. But I want to be a tree that responds. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth, the farmer. He knows what he needs to do. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength. How? Through his spirit. There's no other way, really. If we do not have his spirit, well, according to this, there's no other way. Then Christ, so it says then Christ will make his home in your hearts, and then you will trust in him. I, as a young lighty, knew about this Jesus Christ. I knew about him. I heard about him. I sang about him in school, hymns and stuff. But if I think back, I didn't really trust him. I didn't really know him. But when I received his spirit, then Christ will make home in your hearts, and then you will trust him. Straightforward. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So these are all things that happen as a result, ne? This is not, Brett, you need to make your roots grow down and make sure that they're strong. No, these are things that happen as a result of the help that you sent, as a result of the Spirit that is given, as a result of the trust in Him now. The roots start growing down into God's love, and they will keep you strong. Not your perfect discipline. That's part of it. He's helping us with that, but that's not it. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, as a result of all this, and now, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. This farmer really loves you. He loves me. He loves his people. It's his plan. It was love. In the beginning, it was very good. May you experience the love of Christ, though it be too great to fully understand. So I think there's some sort of we can grasp it. If you are reborn and have received the Spirit and have trusted, to experience this love is incredible. It's really a real thing. It's really real. And if you haven't, please reach out. However that reaching out may look, because it's incredible. But I always said to fully understand it and to fully grasp it, I don't think I've got a cooking clue. But I have tasted it. Oh, and it's good. It's really good. Then you will be made complete. There's another then. So these thens, alles baie belangrik hoor in die woord. Because it talks about the result of. It says, and then as a result of what just happened now, then this will happen. But so often we scrap the then. And say, I'm going to practice all these spiritual disciplines. And then I will be. And it's saying, no, there's a step just before that. To help beyond the help. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Oh, isn't that, don't you want that? I want that. I really want that. And then it says, as a result of all of that, something happens. Now, all glory to God. What is glory? I'm going to say it again. I've said it many times. Glory is God known for who He truly is. It's most straightforward. God known for who He truly is. He showed that to Moses when Moses was going up the mountain and Moses asked him, God, please show me your glory. And God did. What did He do? He showed him just a little bit of Himself. He didn't give him this beautiful system and these heavenly angels singing and beautiful hymns and all that's part of it. But the glory of God is Him being seen and known for who He truly is. And that can only come out of a place of this incredible help that Paul was praying for spiritual growth for the people of God. All the glory to God. Who is able, he's just reminding us now, who is able through His mighty power at work within us, He's in us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Then again, glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. It's always going to be the way. He's always going to be the farmer. He always has been. From the beginning it was good, up until that day when everything is going to be good again. He's going to be the farmer. And so may we be surrender trees that respond. Simply because of the closeness with Him. And this is the reason why He wants us to bear fruit. Not just so that we'll be great testimonies walking around. Look at these amazing things that I've created. Look what... No. There's a closeness with Him that He desires. And He's too holy for us to bear bad fruit and be close to with us. He's too holy for that. And that's why good fruit is necessary. Because He is too holy for us to come into His presence and live in His presence. And He's inviting us in. And that's only as a result of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's taken that sin, separated, so that we can be close. So He has kept us He is keeping us, and He will continue to keep us. And He wants to do it. He loves it. He loves doing it. He loves experiencing us close to Himself. He loves seeing others that are far from Him coming close. And He is the greatest farmer that knows all things in a very spiritually barren world at the moment. Where, yes, He's given us structures and trellises, and He has. And we need to know them, and we need to practice them. There is an effort. It talks about that. But in order to make that effort, according to Paul's prayer, we need to know that He is our help. Look to the mountains. Where does your help come from? He says in Psalm 121, it is the Lord. And if you're in a place, yeah, I really want to, then great, so do I. But may we turn our focus to Him and say, please help me, Lord. Help me to be a tree that responds to your spiritual disciplines. Why? Not so that I can be a better person. No, so that I can be closer to you, Lord. Because I know that this is good. Very good. According to Him, it was in the beginning. And so I really pray for us that our motive, that our reason, that our desire would be beyond the stuff of this world. It would be one thing. Close to Him. It's good. Very good. And yes, is there going to be a result? Is there going to be fruits? For sure. Going to deal with the taxis differently and load shedding and all that kind of stuff, for sure. But it's not about that. That's just fruit that happens. Okay. Kom ons bid saam. Ons maak ons bid toe. Lord Jesus, You are incredible. Thank You that You have kept us, Lord, up till today. That You are keeping us and You long to keep us. You long to put the things in place that we need so that we can be close to You, so that it will be good, very good. I really pray for us as a congregation and as individuals that we'll have this motive in our heart to be close to You, to experience You, to know You for who You truly are. This is glory, so that You will be glorified, You known for who You really are. Not for what this world has painted, this picture that this world has painted of You, not of what any religion has painted of You, but who You truly are, Lord. I pray that we will know this. I pray that we'll be trees with a posture to be close to You, and also with a posture to be in a position where we allow You to have Your way. Help us with this surrendered heart, Lord. This heart that is dependent on You. This heart that knows that we need You above all else. Help us with this, please, Father. I pray that as we walk out here, we will turn around and look to the mountain and know where our help comes from. And that we will know that we know that it comes from You alone. And yes, have You set up things? You have. But ultimately, we look to You to help us, Lord. According to Paul's prayer, that You will give us this inner strength. We know that You've got unlimited resources, and the resources is not so that we can have great lives and fruitful trees. It is so that we can be close to You. That is the reason. We know that that's Your heart. Thank You, Lord, for continue looking after us and providing for us. I pray that we'll live out of a thankful place, an encouraged place, that all that we do is to seek You. I pray that we will seek You first, and whatever comes as a result, so be it, Lord. Please help us with this. Help us as our helper. We know that You are. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.